This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Think of all the sleep hacks you've ever heard. You could spend years trying them all, or you could instantly transform your sleep with Boll & Branch. They make the softest, most breathable bedding you've ever felt, and it's all 20% off. That's their best sale of the entire season. Millions of sleepers love their buttery soft sheets, airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and so much more. And you can try all of them for 20% off with promo code Odyssey. So hurry to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com. See site for details.
Cherry Hill Volvo is honored to sponsor the Rich Zeoli podcast. We thank Rich for informing and entertaining all of us. Rich Zeoli, 1210 Talk Radio and Cherry Hill Volvo, an absolutely amazing team.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Zeoli podcast.
Russia, back in the news again. What's going on here with this? Joe Biden emerges from the basement. And it turns out that our area, once again, is going to be central to the 2020 election. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. This is an hour of nonstop talk on the Zeoli Show on a Wednesday. 855-839-1210, the number, 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. Facebook.com/Zeoli Show if you'd like to weigh in this hour. Throughout the program, you can do so as well. So I'll tell you what, starting with Joe Biden here, he emerged from the Biden Basement Network. Remember, Joe Biden is not really the candidate. I mean, he is, but he's not. He's the guy, you're voting for him by proxy, but what you're getting is, you're getting all the crazy people too. So you're inheriting with Joe Biden a whole bunch of crazy people. It's like your Uncle Joe, your crazy Uncle Joe is coming over, but he's bringing all of his friends, and his friends are going to wreck your house. And he doesn't know they're going to wreck your house. They don't tell him that. You try to tell him that, but he doesn't pay attention long enough to realize that. So he invites his crazy friends over to your house or his beach house. You come to visit. Lo and behold, all his crazy relatives are there too. You went, I thought we were getting a nice weekend in the Hamptons here. What's happening? But instead, it's all these crazy people smashing up the place and destroying the whole neighborhood. That's the people that you get with Joe Biden. You're not really getting Joe Biden. You're getting Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who said that the $1.5 billion with a B cut to the NYPD is not enough. $1.5 billion cut to the biggest police department in America, not enough. Should have been more. Should have cut it more. You're getting that. You're getting Ilhan Omar. You're getting Rashida Tlaib. You're getting Jerry Nadler. You're getting Pelosi. You're getting the crazies with Joe Biden. He comes with a lot of baggage. It's like we have this beautiful home for you to buy and all these crazy people living in the basement, they come with the home. That's what you get with a Joe Biden candidacy. And the more that the Trump campaign can argue that and push that out there, the more that they can get people scared of Joe Biden. It's the only way you're going to get people scared of Joe Biden. Because nobody's afraid of Joe Biden. You know, he's been around forever. He's a dope. The gaffes and everything like that. A lot of people respect him. But the people that don't hate him like they hated Hillary Clinton. I mean, people hated Hillary Clinton with a passion. That hatred of her, it led people to literally say, no matter what, I'm going to stop. I have to vote against her. They don't have that with Joe Biden. For a lot of them, like, he's safe, whatever. He's fine. He's not going to do any damage. He won't. But all the crazy people that he brings with him will. They will destroy your home. They'll burn it to the ground. They'll do crazy things. And then they'll let homeless people in under a name of, and they'll start composting too. Like, you got to make people afraid of what they'll do to your house, and the house being America. Right. And that's the only analogy I can give you. Because if they don't do that, Joe Biden is going to be a tough candidate to beat, from the sense of he's just kind of like, nah, he's like vanilla. He's like, nah, you know. And yet, every day we turn on, there's just rabid hatred for Trump. And you're never going to get rabid hatred for Joe Biden. But of the people around him, there is rabid hatred for them. Like, people rabidly hate Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Gerald Nadler and all these other crazy Democrats. They do hate them. So you have to convince people that they come too. It's a package. It's a package deal here. You don't get just Joe Biden. And Joe Biden hiding in his basement is probably the best thing he can do for himself. You know, coming out in public, the air, and seeing people and saying things lends to gaffes. So they've had the Biden Basement Network now for a while, and Democrats are fine with it. For example, on Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, okay? This is her talking about the defund police movement, about waking up America, about how even if you're on her side now, you're still not woke enough. Remember, with a Joe Biden presidency, you get AOC. You don't not get AOC, you get AOC. This is the party. This is the future. She's going to be around a whole lot longer than Joe Biden. And she's going to get to do a lot of damage if he's president and she's in the majority in the House and they win the Senate. It's over, baby. Cut number one.
Do you think many people are woke now to what's been, you know, we've been asleep at the wheel for years?
I think that these protests have absolutely, you know, woken a lot of people up. Now, you have to acknowledge that it's a place of privilege to be woken up to this. You know, if you never knew this was an issue before, and now you're realizing it now, you know, there's a huge privilege in that. But listen, whatever gets the job done, gets it done. And if you were out in the street, or if you were supporting a bail fund, or if you were reposting things to social media, you were part of that movement. And we're seeing that in the poll numbers. You know, I've had people tell me, admit to me, and that they had never known that this was an issue before, or that they didn't, you know, that they had heard about it. But there's a difference between hearing about it and really internalizing it. And it was really people in the streets that really helped people internalize it. Lots of people internalize it. And so direct action is so important. You know, voting is important, but it can't happen in a vacuum. And all of those people going out into the streets, you shape the public opinion. And now the very fact that we're even talking about police budgets, right, that we're saying, hey, why is it that the NYPD gets $6 billion, but our housing doesn't get that much, our youth services don't get that much, our health services don't get that much combined? Like, right, why do we need tanks? Why do we need facial recognition in the subway? Why do we need, like, forcing all of those questions? People in the streets did that. And it's powerful. It's
Let's really stop important. Right there. So, you know, she's all in on cutting $1.5 billion from the NYPD's budget and then putting all that money towards other social service programs. And this is what I mean. You know, Joe Biden can pretend he's a moderate, and Joe Biden can go out there and say, hey, listen, I'm the guy who was for crime, for the big crime bill, till I wasn't. But the people behind him, the crazies in the House that hang out with him, the crazies that will destroy the House, those crazy people, they want to take money from, say, law enforcement and put it into all kinds of social programs. But they want to not just stop there. They want to maximize and extend social programs, create new social programs. You would have the biggest expansion of government in a long, long time with these people. And it would all be the kind of welfare social state that we haven't seen probably since, I don't know, like Lyndon Johnson's War on Poverty or Great Society. I mean, it's that bad. And until you can make people realize that, it's not Joe Biden, it's all the people behind him. Now, he was asked about his health. Joe Biden was asked about his health and the debates that he's going to have to face right now. You know, right now, as it stands, Donald Trump would destroy Joe Biden in a debate. He really would. He would. But debates may not move a lot of people. They may not. I mean, by the time the debates come around in the fall, people may have already made their minds up. Unless Biden does something so egregious, I don't know how many people are still going to be on the fence by then. You know what I mean? So you can't put all your hope in debates. But that said, I think Trump is going to do very well in the debates against Joe Biden. Obviously, I'm a little biased in this area. But anyway, Joe Biden was asked about the debates. Cut number two.
Two quickies. Will you commit to three debates?
Oh, yes.
Three?
Three, yeah. I commit to it. Look, I am committed to following the debate, the national debate group that sets up these debates, who they pick as the moderators, three of them. It's been for this way for a long time. The first one is a one-on-one debate with a moderator. The next one is a town meeting setting. The third one is a normal debate again. I commit to those. I'm looking forward to it.
Last question real quick. Some have speculated,
sir,
that you are subject to some degree of cognitive decline. I'm 65. I don't have word recollection that I used to have. I forget my train of thought from time to time. You got 12 years on me, sir. Have you been tested for some degree of cognitive decline?
I've been tested, and I'm constantly tested. Look, all I got to do is watch me, and I can hardly wait to compare my cognitive capability to the cognitive capability of the man I'm running against.
So he's constantly tested. His cognitive decline is constantly tested. I guess they keep making him draw a clock. I think it's the classic thing they do, draw a clock. So every day Joe Biden starts his day by having to draw the numbers on a clock. No?
Because if you show, right, it shows if you've had a stroke or if you have mental decline.
Yeah. So like if you put the three, it's too close to the four. Or if like it looks like a Salvatore Dali clock, you know, where it's...
Where it's
like
melting.
Bending over, yeah, if it's backwards or something. Or if they go, Joe Biden, do us a favor, show us your cognitive decline, draw us a clock, and he draws a digital clock, right? That would like just the 12 or the
with
blinking
a rectangle.
Like, yeah, that would then you'd know that Joe Biden's got issues. Because the clock test is classic right there.
Here's the thing. That was the final question asked by a Fox News reporter. And so you have this whole news conference going on, and he seemed sweet and he seemed okay. But I just would ask you, look back at that and look at the media treatment with kid gloves compared to any news conference ever with Donald Trump, before presidency or current. And then just compare the media treatment, the way the questions are asked and that sort of thing. Completely different.
And make him draw a clock. Biden ripped Trump. He ripped a lot of things yesterday. He also talked about the Russian bounties, which I'm going to get to as well. And he yelled randomly at somebody that you're a lion dog-faced pony soldier, which was just random. Just kind of threw that out there. For Joe Biden, again, you got to tie Joe Biden to the other crazy people. You need to make that correlation. That is the key to this race right now. Here's Joe Biden just randomly yelling lion dog-faced pony soldier at somebody. Cut number three.
Last question, real quick. Some have speculated,
you're a
sir,
lying dog
that you are subject to.
You're a lying dog face. And he stopped himself right there. Oh, I already used that on somebody. Can't use that again. Then he was going to get into how Corn Pop's a bad dude. But again, they cut that right there. They just said, zip it. Now, John Cole's here this week. John, we're very lucky to have John in for Greg Stocker's office week. And John is the managing editor of Politics PA, which is a great site. Politics PA is a must check every day about the state of the races in Pennsylvania, all across the board. So, John, you posted something interesting recently, how the NRCC, which is the National Republican Congressional Committee, tell me about what they're doing here.
Sure. So, again, I guess it can't be stressed enough, Rich, how we talked about how important Pennsylvania is and Philadelphia.
And talk a little louder for me because I'm a little deaf.
Yeah, no, no problem. Yeah, so basically, though, of course, we know how important Pennsylvania and Philadelphia are specifically. The NRCC, like you mentioned, the National Republican Congressional Committee, announced their first multi-million dollar TV ad buy for the fall. Now, that doesn't mean these the exact dollars and cents aren't concrete, but they've announced that their plans are. For the state of Pennsylvania, they're investing in $3.6 million in the Philadelphia television airwaves, which is their largest ad buy of any market in the whole country. Now, of
really?
Course,
so yeah, largest ad buy of any market in the country right here in this television and radio market.
Correct. I mean, we know Philadelphia's not a cheap market, of course, so that's worth noting. But having said that, I mean, there's a lot of regions of the country where there's a lot of, close congressional races. The Philadelphia market happens to have several that are really highly touted, closely watched race, a couple in Pennsylvania, and of course, quite a few in Jersey as well.
So you got a couple of close races in this part of the country that are congressional races. And of course, obviously, you tie that in with the presidential election, because the theoretically, if people come out to vote in a House race, they're going to also vote for president, right? I mean, that's kind
absolutely
of the link.
Yeah, and I think one thing we're definitely going to continue to follow will be the down ballot effect in some of these districts, depending in areas where Biden does really well. Will there be a down ballot effect where the Democrat will benefit from that, or the same thing for Trump in areas that Trump's very popular? Will Republicans get a boost from his popularity? That's definitely something that the NRCC and Republicans and Democrats are definitely going to keep an eye on.
All right. So in the article, you talk about the DCC, the Democrat Congressional Campaign Committee. They're also spending a ton of money in this market, right? But it's not number one for them, is it?
No, but the interesting thing is, though, that the NRCC is, and again, they made their largest ad buy is in Philadelphia, which is noteworthy, but they didn't announce yet. Now, of course, months later, they will spend in other regions of the state. But right now, it's just the Philadelphia market, where the DCCC, the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, announced that they're not spending as much as the NRCC, but they are spending in multiple markets in the state. The one they're actually spending the most in isn't Philadelphia. They're actually spending the most in Harrisburg. Close congressional race out there with Scott Perry, who's in the Freedom Caucus. He's got a challenger from the Democratic State Auditor General, Eugene DePasquale. That's a $1 million ad buy. In Philly, the DCCC said they're going to spend, they're planning to spend $910,000, and then $400,000 also allocated for the Wilkes-Barre Scranton market. That's an area where Trump's pretty popular, but there is a Democrat in Congress up there that Republicans are trying to unseat. So Democrats are playing defense in that area.
Interesting. All of these, there's a ton of money. You're going to be more and more campaign commercials and mail pieces and everything else that you've ever seen in your life in this election. It's going to be a fortune spent. But obviously, Pennsylvania, again, being ground zero for a lot of this stuff, which is really important. Well, thank you, John, for that. We'll continue to monitor that. Good site, Politics PA. So it's good to have you on the show this week. We appreciate your contributions to that. 855-839-1210. All right. Now, with Joe Biden, of course, then, you know, people are going to come out and vote in these races. And then theoretically, if they vote for the Democrat for president, they're going to vote down ballot as well and vice versa. Turnout's going to be everything. It's going to be everything. And I still think in a lot of these states, it's going to be very, very close. Here is Biden talking about ripping Trump, just ripping Trump on all these different things that he does. And he's got to be careful here, right? Because he wants to be the guy going after Trump. He also wants to be the guy that everybody likes, you know, the Joe Biden that everybody likes, and just Joe, he's harmless, he's likable. So he can't go too far, but here he is going after Trump on let's talk about here now, cut number five.
Couldn't tell with the mask, Alex.
With that. All right. So we reported yesterday that President Trump was briefed as early as March of 2019 that Russia had ordered or offered bounties to the Taliban for the killing of U.S. soldiers. You called his inaction on this issue a betrayal. So broadly, what consequences do you think the president should face for that betrayal? And specifically, what do you think Congress should do?
Well, look, first of all, Congress and the intelligence committees on the Congress, both parties should demand the facts. This seems to be a moving story. As I was leaving, I had the television on, as I put on my shirt, and I understand there's even some more information
shirt
that's come out today about what was
Did
known.
You put on anything else or just the shirt?
One of two things. This president is, talks about cognitive capability. He doesn't seem to be cognitively aware of what's going on. He either reads and or gets briefed on important issues and he forgets it, or he doesn't think it's necessary that he need to know it. But the fact is that at a minimum, the discrepancy allegedly between within the intelligence community has reported, some thought it was more certain and others thought it was less certain, that should be resolved. The president should have on day one said, I want you to come before me in the situation room and lay out the differences and discretion. Who is saying what? Let's get to the bottom of this.
All right, now let's stop it right there. So this is all about this story that came out over the weekend that basically now Russia was going to pay bounties to have U.S. soldiers killed. Okay. And now this is all being used to the whole argument of, well, you know, Trump is Russia and he's Putin's little boy and everything like this. Molly Hemingway has a great point on this over at the Federalist. She said, you know, the media are playing games yet again with anonymous Russia leaks, right? She talks about how what happened with the Iraq war with all of the weapons of mass destruction, WMDs, how it led us into war. And Colin Powell, you know, going before the UN Secretary General, going to the United Nations, giving the speech, how it was a massive intelligence failure. Remember that? And later, you know, many years down the road, Colin Powell would admit that, yeah, he was misled on the intelligence. The intelligence was wrong. She writes, the intelligence future became a failure, became a widespread media failure when reporters uncritically regurgitated the weapons of mass destruction claims from their intelligence community sources. Academics, pundits, and journalists themselves have decried the media's performance in the lead up to the 2003 invasion of Iraq. The New York Times and Washington Post even published their regrets about their own coverage, which frequently took the intelligence community's claims at face value. It's important history to remember as you watch nearly the entire corporate media establishment run wild with claims from completely anonymous sources in the intelligence community this week. By comparison, the reporters back in 2002 and 2003 seem to have been downright judicious in their handling of the intelligence community claims. Now, ask yourself this. I'm going to break from the article for a second. Ask yourself this. As you hear Joe Biden, do you think Joe Biden is the kind of guy that's going to push back on intelligence claims, or is he going to be the kind of guy that goes all in? What do you think? I mean, what's your sense of that? See, right now, the criticism of Donald Trump that he's getting it all across the points is the Russians wanted to kill U.S. troops, pay a bounty. We have this intelligence. You were briefed on it. You did nothing about it. All right. So the first question I have is, is it true? Is it true what Russia was trying to do? Well, we have an intelligence briefing. All right. Weapons of mass destruction. We're also in an intelligence briefing. Number two, if it is true, what are you going to do about it? Weapons of mass destruction, if it was true, led us to invade Iraq, started the Iraq war. Is that what you're proposing here? Do we do that? If it's true, again, if the intelligence is true and Russia was going to pay bounties to Taliban-linked militias for killing coalition forces in Afghanistan, including targets of American troops, if that's true, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to then invade Russia? Are we going to start World War III? Are we going to start up the Cold War again in a way like we've never seen before? Is this the 1980s calling and they want their foreign policy back, as Barack Obama said to Mitt Romney in 2012? What is it? Molly's point is, are we just now going to automatically assume that the intelligence is automatically right? Because we did that once before, right? We did that with 2003 with the weapons of mass destruction, and look where it came. It's one of the most significant and catastrophic intelligence errors in U.S. history. A bipartisan commission found that U.S. intelligence seriously misjudged Iraq's weapons program because of their heavy reliance on a human source codenamed Curveball, whose information later proved to be unreliable. Quote, even more misleading, the commission wrote, was the river of intelligence that flowed from the CIA to top policymakers over long periods of time in the president's daily brief. And other reports that were more alarmist and less nuanced. Back to the press comments there. You heard Joe Biden talk about, well, I mean, this is a president who forgets that he doesn't read it, or they tell him this and he doesn't read it. And then there was this debate over, well, did the president read it? Does he actually read his presidential daily briefs? Do people just tell him things? Was it written? Was it delivered to him verbally? Here you have, in 2003, the actual weapons of mass destruction were in the president's daily brief on multiple occasions. Curveball was Germany's codename for Rafid Ahmad Awan al-Janabi, an Iraqi defector who claimed to have built mobile weapons laboratories. President George W. Bush highlighted the claims in his 2003 State of the Union address. Secretary of State Colin Powell's speech to the United Nations on February 5, 2003, relied heavily on Curveball's claims. He said, quote, my colleagues, every statement I make today is backed up by sources, solid sources. These are not assertions. What we're giving you are facts and conclusions based on solid intelligence. I will cite some examples, and these are from human sources. Colin Powell went on to describe Janabi's claims at length, concluding, this defector is currently hiding in another country with the certain knowledge that Saddam Hussein will kill him if he finds him. His eyewitness account of these mobile production facilities have been corroborated by other sources. All right. Now, Molly Hemingway writes, the anonymous leakers and this allegedly airtight intelligence that was briefed to President Trump and officials came up with ideas for potential responses, including a diplomatic complaint and sanctions. But the White House had yet to authorize anything. The intelligence, reporters claimed, had been shared with the British government. The anonymous leakers of the information are totally certain that Russian operatives offered and paid bounties, but they have greater uncertainty about who authorized the plan. The reporters included some speculation about why such a bounty operation, again, Russia paying for American troops to be killed, why it would be done. There was no speculation about the motivation of the leaking officials. So once again, we have a situation where we have intelligence officials, anonymous, claiming things. Okay, claiming things. My question is this. You know that Donald Trump was opposed to the Iraq war. You know that most people nowadays, except for John Bolton, look back and think the Iraq war was a mistake. The Iraq war was 100% based on weapons of mass destruction, and it was based on anonymous sources telling us about WMDs. So you know how the intelligence community obviously just despises the president. You know how the guy was spied on by the intelligence community, James Clapper, John Brennan, the CIA, the Defense Intelligence Agency, the NSA. You know how they were all involved in spying on his campaign. You know they don't like him. You know he's not from their world. You know that John Bolton is constantly telling him in his ear all the time to start World War III with this country or that country. The president's skeptical of this. Like, let's assume for a second he was briefed on it. And he dismissed it as pure and utter BS. Let's assume that for a second. You notice how that's not even an acceptable idea to entertain? The idea that a president would dismiss anonymous intelligence sources that could lead us to World War III. Can't do that. You have to accept it. The intelligence community, they're never wrong. They're flawless. I've seen some of the ads, the attack ads put out by like Project Lincoln, for example. And it's, you know, President Trump has failed the military. He hates our troops and he loves Russia. And so he knew this was something Russia was doing, but didn't care because he didn't want to upset Putin. I got another theory. What if he was briefed but dismissed it as pure and utter BS? What about that? Because maybe he thought it was. And maybe it was such a thing where he didn't even need to follow up on it because he immediately dismissed it as BS. Maybe it was the kind of thing where other people expressed skepticism, or maybe they didn't, and maybe that's even another reason why the president just dismissed it. Maybe he was briefed, maybe he wasn't. Maybe it was in his daily intelligence briefing, maybe it wasn't. I don't really care that much. What I care about is it true? How do we know if it's true? And then, what do we do about it if it is true? So A, how do we know it's true? B, what do we do if it is true? Molly Hemingway at The Federalist writes again, it is worth noting that three New York Times reporters, Charlie Savage, Eric Schmidt, and Michael Schwartz, also played key roles in disseminating the Russia collusion hoax, in which anonymous intelligence officials worked with co-conspirators in the media for years to put out a false and defamatory narrative that President Donald Trump had colluded with Russia to steal the 2016 election or was otherwise compromised. The New York Times was one of the biggest outlets engaged in the Russia hoax. The reporters even include some of their previous Russia collusion hoax specialists. Key facts about Trump's actions against Russia are included in the bounty story. Literally nothing about the political media's use of anonymous sources to spread republic-damaging information in recent years should lead anyone to treat further anonymous sources with any deference. The entire corporate media establishment immediately ran wild with the story and used it to suggest it was further evidence that Trump was an agent of Russian President Vladimir Putin. The story dominated cable news over the weekend and into the following week. With him, all roads lead to Putin. I don't know what the Russians have on this president politically, personally, financially, or whatever it is, but he wants to bring Russia back into the G8 despite the annexation of Crimea and the invasion of Ukraine, despite what they yielded to him in Syria. Despite his intervention into our elections, which is well documented by our intelligence community. And despite possibly this allegation, which we should have been briefed on, said the Speaker of the House and vampiric one, Nancy Pelosi. Now, if you think about the perspective of all of these anonymous leakers, intelligence sources, NSA, CIA, the Defense Intelligence Agency, Clapper, Brennan, Comey, all these people, anonymous sources, an anonymous dossier, a signals intelligence, people coming to talk to operatives undercover at bars in Europe, like with George Papadopoulos. And it turns out that they're actually CIA operatives. And they're all engaged in this Russia stuff. They do this massive, big Russia investigation that costs taxpayers like $60 million. They find no evidence of collusion with the Trump campaign. The intelligence community got it so wrong on weapons of mass destruction. They got it so wrong on this Russia stuff that Trump was actually put there by Russia and all that. But they come up with this story now about how Putin is paying bounties to have U.S. forces killed in Afghanistan. We're all supposed to drop everything and automatically assume that that must be correct. That obviously anonymous intelligence sources are always right. And when the media puts it out there every single day as a story, we're all supposed to go, well, clearly the president loves Russia and doesn't care about our troops. I just have to ask the honest question. First of all, if it is true, do you want him to invade Russia? I mean, is that the goal here? Do you want us to start World War III? Do you want, like with Iraq, do we do that? Do we go all in? Does the president give a speech to the UN and say this can't stand? Does he give a address before Congress and ask for their resolution to what, invade Russia? What do we do? Do we put the kind of deep economic sanctions on Russia that would then cause Vladimir Putin to do something that would cause him to react? One of the options was a diplomatic apology, basically. Now, think about that for a second. Let's assume President Trump was briefed on this. He knew about it and he thought it was real. And he goes to the world and he says, we demand an apology from Russia. Do you think that would have been enough for the John Boltons of the world, for the other people of the world? Do you really believe that for these hawks, that would be enough for them, where they turn around and go, all right, we're good. We're good. We got a diplomatic apology, diplomatic immunity. We got a diplomatic apology from Russia. We're good. Does anybody really believe that? In other words, let's assume Trump believed it was real. Let's assume he was briefed and he thought, wow, man, Russia, they really do. They are a gigantic pain in our neck. But then thought to himself, what can I do about it? I can't go to war with them. I can't put the kind of sanctions on that's going to cause him to react or hurt our friends in Europe. I'm already using natural gas from other places. I'm boosting up other countries that are a direct competitor to Vladimir Putin. I can't bomb them. I can't use military violence against them. If I ask him for an apology, they're going to turn around and say that I'm a stooge, and all I'm asking for is an apology. If I put this out there, then I've got all these war hawks in my ear, like John Bolton, who are going to tell me I need to start World War III. In other words, if A, we have reasons to doubt intelligence reports from anonymous sources, if B, we know that intelligence sources have gotten it wrong, and then C, even if it is true, what the hell do we do about it? It's very possible Trump made the decision to just let it go. And if that's the case, then people automatically go, oh, well, you're siding with Russia and you hate U.S. troops. Okay, let's say then Trump said, I got to do something. Like, I saw Congressman Adam Kinzinger on TV, and he's a big Russia hawk. And he goes, if this is true, we got to do something really strong against Russia. We got to do something really tough against Russia. Sounds a lot like what they said about Iraq, right? With weapons of mass destruction. I've said to you from day one of this presidency, I've said this during the campaign, the biggest people that are against Donald Trump are the people that want war the most. The biggest people that are driving this whole Lincoln Project and these Never Trumpers, they all have a lot in common with this one idea. Ready? This one idea of use of force. They're Bush people. They're McCain people. And they're all the ones who from day one have been working against this president. They're all the Bush people and the McCain people. And they're the Project Lincoln group. And they're the other group and the Never Trumpers. And they all have one thing in common. They love United States intervention in foreign wars. Why is John Bolton on every show in America now being asked all these questions? Because John Bolton is part of that club. It's club intervention. It's get U.S. troops on the ground, drop bombs, teach them lessons, let the world know how it is. U.S. has got to be strong. They love this stuff. And I'm telling you, that's been the way it is from day one. You have the intelligence community working against this guy to keep him from getting elected. Why? Because he was against the Iraq war. He said, I don't want any more wars. I don't want Americans going to war. I want to bring the troops back. That doesn't work for the Bush people and the McCain people and all these other people. It doesn't work for them. So that's what's happening right now. And I'm telling you right now, it's the kind of thing where when you really look at the way the intelligence community and the military-industrial complex has had it out for him from day number one, it was obvious that something like this was going to happen. It was obvious something was going to happen like this. It's just a matter of time. President tweeted out, the Russia bounty story is just another made-up fake news tale that is told only to damage me and the Republican Party. The secret source probably does not even exist, just like the story itself. If the discredited New York Times has a source, reveal it. Just another hoax, in capital letters, hoax. H-O-A-X, hoax. I'm telling you right now, even if the story was real, what do you want America to do about it? This is a president who doesn't want World War III. This is a president who wants to bring troops home. This is a president that does not want American forces on the ground. We can't just bomb Moscow to send them a lesson. So even if it was true, I ask the people that hate the president, all the Never Trumpers and the Lincoln Project and other people, what would you have wanted him to do about it? I know what John Bolton would have wanted him to do about it. But you know what? Just bombing Moscow isn't like bombing Baghdad. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Your thoughts on this as we continue on the show today, 855-839-1210. Let me tell you about my great friends at Cherry Hill Volvo. Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter. And by the way, they really do matter. Judith is my great friend. You know, we have the beautiful XC60. As I saw, I got a note from my friend, Dr. Kim. I sent her in last week. She went in 2 weeks ago. She said, you know, I'm driving back and forth to the shore, and the car is tight. We need something bigger. So they went with the XC90. It is the new family car, and it is beautiful for a reason, by the way. All this space, all this luxury in the XC90. Maybe you want something that's not a family car. Maybe you want the S-Class. Built in the United States of America at their plant in South Carolina, the S-Class is absolutely beautiful. Judith and her team at Cherry Hill Volvo are amazing. They are just absolutely wonderful people, and they have great incentives right now. Maybe your lease is up and you've just been kind of waiting. You weren't sure what to do. Then I'm telling you right now, what you should do is go to Cherry Hill Volvo. They've got great incentives on leases, and they've got great incentives on previously enjoyed cars and also on new cars as well. The selection's wonderful. The people are wonderful. It really is a difference. They're open at 9 a.m. The management team there makes all sales decisions, and they're ready to help find the right vehicle for you. And they even have 5 years of 0% financing as well. But you better act fast because those specials are going away. Cherry Hill Volvo Cars, right on Route 70 in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, minutes from everywhere where relationships matter.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
I am sharing all this with you. It is the big story of the day today. No corroborating, president writes, no corroborating evidence to back reports. Department of Defense, do people still not understand that this is all a made up fake news media hoax? Started to slander me and the Republican Party. I was never briefed because any info that they may have had did not rise to that level. This big story of the day today on this Russia stuff is brought to you by Hint Water. Hint is real water, just a fruit infusion. Some nice flavors for you, and no sugar, no sweeteners, no artificial flavors. You can find Hint in the grocery store or at drinkhintwater.com. You know, Dawn, I was thinking about it too with the idea of kids going back to school. Kids are disgusting and they touch everything. You know what I mean?
Yes.
They touch everything, and that's impossible to stop. So even if you had like a Purell thing in every classroom, because I noticed this with Claire the other day, and you go, honey, you got to Purell your hands. On the way to the Purell station is when they take a finger, shove it up their nose as far as they possibly can, right? They're disgusting.
It's true.
If you have schools open, you got kids touching, kids kissing, kids touching everything, disgusting germs, snot, but it's also how you build up an immune system.
Right. We keep hearing about herd immunity. They're doing it in the Scandinavian countries. They seem to be fine.
I was thinking about like when they finally like have a cure for the coronavirus, everybody's going to go back, take their masks off, start hugging and touching, and everybody's going to get sick. Because our immune systems are going to go, what the hell is this?
Well, that's a good point, because what a lot of researchers are saying, because we've all been distancing, our immune system, you know, what strengthens our new immune system is to be around a lot of different people, right? So now our immune systems are going to like come out of the closet after being, you know, quarantined.
Yeah.
So now we're not used to being exposed to everything all at once. Flu bugs. It might not be COVID. Might just be the flu or a cold.
Just a damn common cold.
Yeah.
Our immune system is going to be like, what the hell? I've been off for a year.
Exactly.
I've been furloughed all this time. What are you doing to me?
Furloughed.
Maybe everybody should do, like, you remember the old Carlin skit about germs? He talked about swimming in the East River.
Yes.
Maybe everybody should have to jump in the Schuylkill.
No.
And swim for like an hour.
No.
Just to let your body go, oh my God, this is disgusting.
Listen, I think we always bike in the Wissahickon, and it goes along. So I just look at all the families and kids. They're not supposed to swim, but there are like thousands of kids and families along when you bike along the trails. And I think those kids have the best immune systems right there because it's a tribute, you know, it's a, it leads into the Schuylkill. So I think those kids are the only ones with strong immune systems right now.
Oh, I know. And then what's going to, like, all these kids are going back to school and then it's going to be Johnny's got a runny nose and people are going to freak out. And then all the kids are going to have to be quarantined for 14 days. This school thing, I'm telling you right now, I said to Bridget the other day, I said, we would be very smart right now to either homeschool the kids or hire a team of educators who can live in the house.
And think about that. So in New Jersey, or for those of us in Philadelphia who are paying a fortune, you know, whether it's property taxes or private schools, now that creates a whole different situation because in New Jersey, your schools are 1 and 2 in the nation, right, is the best. But you're paying for it. So now what happens next? People complain. Well, why am I paying all these property taxes? My kid can't go to school.
Yeah, and then I have to go to work, but my kids are not going to school.
Right.
I'm expected to now homeschool them, and I still have a job, you know? And you're going to get a lot of that. I was reading the other day, it said something like 40% of parents are now considering homeschooling their kids. 40%. That's a lot.
It's a lot. I don't think for people who are able to do it, you know, I think homeschooling is a good thing, depending on the child and depending on the parent. But in Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania is one of the number one homeschooling states. So everything, there's a curriculum, you get the same books, you can even go to sports activities at your local school. So Pennsylvania is set up for homeschooling better than most states.
And somebody said, I think it was something effective like, in 20 years, we're all going to realize that America was taught by a bunch of day drinking homeschoolers. Yeah, we're all going to have to realize that.
And here's the thing, it'll be the most inventive generation ever. You know?
Yeah, right. It'll be totally different because, you know, I got to do summer camp at 9. The drinks start flowing at 9:02. And so, you know, by the time archery class gets there, the camp counselor may have forgotten to take away the real darts and put in the bumper darts.
Think about what you're saying, though. So the big criticism is for a long time, our kids were so managed and controlled. And now all of a sudden, if we're homeschooling or, you know, look at Patrick and Claire right now, what are they doing? They have more freedom than kids have had in a really long time. They're not all scheduled. I think that's a good thing.
It's a great thing. We've had on our buddy Lenore Skenazy, the free-range kids movement, and it's fantastic. The kids now actually have to figure out a way to entertain themselves.
Yeah.
And we do that in this house. I say to them all the time, go outside and play with each other. And sometimes they'll stare at me through the glass door like puppies. They will. I go, go play with each other. You have each other. Go play with each other. Go up, go play in your bounce castle, go play with all your toys, go play outside, get out of the house and figure it out. You got a freaking swing set in the backyard. Go on the swings. I do that with them all the time. And I turn around and look and there's the little faces by the glass door, little puppies, you know what I mean? Go. We don't want you here. I'm proud of that fact.
Yeah, no, it's good for them.
They have to learn this stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, Dan Snyder checking in on social media, brought to you by our friends at Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter. Dan says, I'm definitely going to homeschool our kindergartner. Yeah, I mean, we may do the same. Kindergarten is so fun. It's like the best year of school. And part of it is because all you do all day is really just play and hang out with other kids and, you know, have that fun. And I hate for my son to miss that. I loved kindergarten. And I did really well in kindergarten. It was every class year after that I went downhill in, you know?
Yeah, it's bad when you peak in kindergarten.
I peaked. I did. I was the valedictorian. And I hit first grade. It was all downhill after that, you know? But, man, my kindergarten year was amazing. Years were amazing.
Class president.
I was class president in kindergarten. I had to repeat the grade, but I was really, I nailed it. Nailed it.
I love it.
So I will see what all this goes, and I guess they'll have more guidance in the next couple of weeks. But I don't know. It's going to be whatever mood the king is in at the time, you know. 855-839-1210 is the number. Let's say good morning to Dawn and check in today on this Wednesday. Good morning, Dawn.
Wednesday, July 1st. Good morning. 72 degrees. Zioli Show News Live, sponsored by Hint Water. So business owners, we've been talking about this, business owners across Philadelphia and New Jersey say they face financial devastation after that sudden decision yesterday and last evening to reverse reopening plans for indoor dining and gyms. So this as the city of Philadelphia, as well as Governor Murphy in New Jersey, announcing these travel restrictions as well, and 2-week quarantines for out-of-state, certain out-of-state visitors. So a lot of cancellations of pretty much most or all of the fireworks shows.
By the way, the quarantine is a fugazi, because you don't really actually have to quarantine. It's a suggestion. They're making a strong suggestion. And I'm saying this is more of a political statement than anything else, because there's no checkpoints.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, they're
not. It's not like you have to. Yeah, you got to go through a quarantine zone. You got to stay in the like an outbreak, and there's all the plastic tarps up and everything like this. So basically, what they're saying is, we really would like you to please quarantine for 14 days. But meanwhile, we're going to make a huge political statement over the fact that all these states are red states.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get here, what are they going to do?
Right.
And also, if somebody gets here and they don't come through an airport and they get stopped by a police officer and they go, "When'd you get here?" And the guy goes, 2 weeks ago." All right, be on your way. Like, what are you going to have papers? You're going to have to show your entry papers? This is going to be like getting into Austria. We're going to need like your visa stamped. It's all BS. I'm telling you. This is all about theater. That's what it is.
Theater. Well, we can't go to the theater, speaking of which, so you had to rub that in. And we can't see any fireworks shows. Even Wildwood's mayor now saying sorry, even though they were planning a big fireworks show, they've now canceled theirs amid all the pressure. So there really aren't any fireworks shows. And we talked about how the fireworks sales have quadrupled because of all these cancellations of the fireworks show. But now there are reports that RV rentals have dramatically risen as Americans prepare for this weekend for 4th of July road trips. So RV sales and rentals are reported more than 1,000% risen.
Wow.
1,000%.
Really?
So and all the experts are saying this is because Americans feel like they want to take control of something, of where they can go. And so they're just taking control, getting behind the wheel and saying, let's go on our own road trip without restrictions so they can stay in the RV. I thought that was really interesting. So,
yeah, I told you, it's like you can't get a boat either. You know, everybody just wants to have freedom on the high seas and get away from it. So I'm not surprised at the RV story. That makes sense. Are people buying more campers? I bet they are probably,
yes,
right?
All that's, you're exactly right. Campers, you talked about your pool. Thank goodness you bought your above ground pool.
My WT inflatable pool.
But now you look like a genius because you can't find these things.
No, and I paid $300 for it. Now they're like $6,200 on eBay if you can find them.
We'll find out that Patrick Zioli was in the backyard like selling the pool to another kid for like $1,000. You got cash?
Yeah, exactly. Renting it out. Patrick, what are you doing back there?
Well, we know Zioli's family had a baby boom, but will the pandemic lead to a baby boom? We've talked about that, but researchers are now calling it a COVID-19 baby bust. So a lot of researchers are saying that most people are concerned about economic well-being and the job loss, health status. So the media kind of scaring people. Researchers say they also looked at the recession of 2008, as well as the 1918 flu pandemic. And think about that, when there was less birth control. And they looked at that to base a prediction of rates for COVID-19. So in both cases, the birth rates declined and remained at lower levels. So they're saying not a baby boom at all.
No, but there will be a divorce boom.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm telling you right now, that's what happened in China, right?
Yep. And yeah, we're seeing it a lot.
That's part of the reason why people are buying RVs, because they want to get the hell out of their own house.
I know, I have a very close relative who, I mean, they've been married like over 25 years. They're getting a divorce. I mean, I'm not trying to laugh, but it's just shocking.
They're just making
each other crazy.
It's because everybody's concentrated on top of each other like this. And then the kids and the stress and then, you know, it's like the psychological effects of having to wear a mask, seeing people in masks, going to stores and everybody's like, you know, distancing from you. And all that stress takes a toll on it. If you've got a troubled marriage to begin with, I think it just compounds it, you know?
Yeah. And in my family's case, they run a family business, which has, you know, gotten crushed with all this stuff. So it's just awful. Okay, we've been talking
about always the guys, you know, they pick up the hookers. The hooker's not wearing a mask.
Stop.
There's also a big fight in the house.
I'm not alleging any of that.
You know what I mean?
My family listens.
Like, so.
A new survey. You had to go there, right?
Sorry, they're listening. I just sound like a.
So now she's going, what? He got a what?
I'm not talking about them. I did see the other day, though, that there was a gentleman's club in South Jersey that set up an outdoor dining area. Well, that's... I don't know if they have outdoor lap dances or not, but that's fascinating. You know, and even... all these places are turning their parking lots into the dining area.
So basically, if that were happening, you'd have people going there as patrons. But I suspect you have a lot of people just like driving by frequently just to watch.
Well, so they had like that, you know, the kind of the chain link fence, and then they put those dividers in the fence so you can't really see in.
Yes.
But I'm thinking about like, who would want to get a lap dance in the middle of the day outside? The sun's pounding on you. You know what I mean?
A lot of
she's
people.
She's wearing a mask. She's 6 feet away. It's
a lot of people. There's desperate. There's such desperation. I'm not even kidding you. But I know there's some like teenage boy who's got like a drone who's trying to go over, you know.
Well, that's a brilliant idea.
You know, right?
That's a great idea. Honey, okay, I did get a lap dance, but she wore a mask and we social distance.
And the wife is like, fine, one less thing for me to do.
Yeah, I'm getting in the RV and I'm getting the hell out of here.
There is a new survey showing, because we talked about gyms, and that's huge in the news. They're still shut down, especially in Jersey. It's been a big story. A new survey shows 1/4 of Americans say they will not return to their gym when the lockdowns end. And they've just found new
that
ways.
That same quarter never went to the gym. They just paid the membership and thought that's how you lose weight.
No, these were they surveyed 2,000 adults who claim to exercise at least twice a week. Here's the thing. The mask thing is a big deterrent because a fourth, 26% said, I'm not wearing a mask while I work out. And 29% identified themselves as anti-mask. So they just said, I'm not wearing a stupid mask when I go
because
to the gym.
Because they don't want to asphyxiate and die when they're in the middle
right.
of working out.
So they just don't want to deal. It's the mask
thing. Breathe, not to not breathe when you're working out. But by the way, I mean, a lot of these people, it's just an excuse to never go back to the gym. Like, I'm not going back to the gym. I gotta wear a mask. I'm not doing that. Me and my love handles would be just fine. Everybody got fat during this quarantine. Huh?
Everybody you talk to, like everybody gained weight. 2 to 19 pounds is the average.
I don't think I didn't gain weight, but what happened with the quarantine, for whatever reason, is that something changed in the water. My pants shrank. And I believe it was something with COVID-19. I don't know exactly what that cause and effect
COVID
relationship is.
Causes the pant shrinkage.
Pant shrinkage.
I love it. Well, no matter what, in this heat, you got to drink lots of water. Hint is pure infused. Pure water infused with surprisingly true fruit flavors, including watermelon, blackberry, cherry. No sugar, sweeteners, or calories. Available in your local grocery store or at drinkhint.com. Hint, water with a true fruit flavor. So the NBC 10 First Alert forecast, 84 degrees today. Yeah, a 60% chance of scattered showers and storms through the early evening. It's nicer at the shore, highs near 80, some spotty showers. There is a moderate risk of rip currents from Ocean City all the way to the North Jersey beaches. So be careful of swimming, you know, out too far. There are sharks anyway, so just stay safe. Baby, as Mama Sealy says.
Did you just say there are sharks?
There are sharks.
Anyway?
That's what I tell my kids. Like, my kids are listening right now. I don't even say there's a rip current. I go, there were shark sightings.
There's sharks.
So
there's sharks.
I would say, remember, they get the last kid. So if you stay in closer, they're not going to get you.
The mental torture.
This is my, I know,
children.
This is Mom.
Boys. When they hit 18, oh, I'm sorry, 42, when you finally let them out of the house, they're going to run. They're going to charge at a great white shark. Come here, Jaws. They're going to try to ride a great white shark. They're going to be down in South Africa, where you can go down and then see all the sharks?
Yeah. Crazy.
Swimming off the coast of Australia. Come get me. I don't believe it. It's fake news.
So tomorrow's hotter, 90 degrees, mostly sunny skies. Saturday, 4th of July, partly sunny skies, 85 degrees. And Sunday is 90, partly sunny. Just a reminder, though, if you hear those storms moving through or thunder and you're at the beach, you know, remember, get out of the water, get off the beach.
You're not in the water anyway because you scared them about the sharks.
See, that's safer anyway.
So there you go.
Wawa has fresh brewed iced coffee. Order yours in-store or on the Wawa app. Try it in flavors like caramel or mocha. Enjoy any size fresh brewed iced coffee for only $2. Gotta have a Wawa. I'm Dawn. This is Yoli Show News Live. We're always on the radio.com app.
I like it. Good done. Good job. 855-839-1210 is our number for you to weigh in. At 8:30, Seema Verma will be here. She's the director of the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. So I'm going to break a couple minutes early so we can get to her. I want to ask her about nursing homes in this country and the guidance that was given out as well. I also want to mention to you as well, you know, the Supreme Court yesterday had a big ruling. It was a great ruling for school choice and for religious liberty. They said that states may not withhold scholarship money from religious schools. It was a big win for school choice and liberty. And I'm very happy about it because we needed a win like this out of this court. The court has been some of their decisions lately have been absolutely awful. But yeah, they ruled that, and they said in the case Espinoza versus Montana Department of Revenue, a 2015 scholarship program created by the Montana legislature to provide parental and student choice in education. The function is offering a tax credit to individuals and businesses who donated to private nonprofit scholarship organizations, which use these donations to fund educational scholarships. Qualifying families could then use the scholarship dollars to help send their children to a qualified education provider, including religiously affiliated private schools. But the Montana Supreme Court killed the scholarship program in 2018, holding that it violated a provision of the Montana Constitution, which bars the use of public funds for any sectarian purpose or to aid any church, school, academy, seminary, college, university, or other literary or scientific institution controlled in whole or in part by any church, sect, or denomination. And the Supreme Court reversed the state court's order. They said the Montana Supreme Court invalidated the program pursuant to a state law provision that expressly discriminates on the basis of religious statutes. So that's a good win today for school choice and religious liberty in particular. 855-839-1210. The Zioli Show coming right back.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.